Cultural tensions have often flared between these two proud nations, with Americans and French both accusing the other of arrogance. But anti-French feelings across America are taking on a sharper edge. The New York Post newspaper ran a doctored front-page photo in which the heads of the French and German ambassadors to the United Nations had been replaced with the heads of weasels, furry animals synonymous with treachery and sneakiness. Radio disc jockeys in Atlanta offered listeners the chance to smash a Peugeot automobile with a sledgehammer. Almost nightly, late-night television comedians are dredging up old jokes about supposed French effeteness and even cowardice. One that's making the rounds likens going to war without the French to hunting without an accordion. And Missouri Congressman Roy Blunt began a Republican conference by asking how many Frenchmen it takes to defend Paris. The answer, which ignited much laughter, it's not known. It's never been tried. Two Republican congressmen convinced the House of Representatives cafeterias to change French fries on their menus to freedom fries and French toast to freedom toast. Sofitel, a French hotel chain, nervously hauled down French flags flying in front of their 10 American properties and replaced them with U.S. state or city flags. One of America's most popular political commentators, Bill O'Reilly, suggested that Americans vent their outrage by boycotting French goods. And among those listening and agreeing was Ken Wagner, who owns Roxy's, a popular restaurant and bar in West Palm Beach, Florida. So irked with the French was he that he dragged every case of the restaurant's French wine and liqueur into the street and dumped the contents into the gutter.
They forget what happened in Normandy Beach and the Saint Lô and years before the Argonne Forest. And they forget all that and the fact that we instituted the Marshall Plan after World War II and really kept Europe afloat for several years before they could fend for themselves.
Mr. Wagner says he believes the French live with what he calls a delusion that they are world leaders.
Everything they do is fine and everything, you know, they can fight in Algeria, they can get their butts kicked in Vietnam, and that's okay. But if anybody else does something, they don't. No, we can't do that. Unless they have instituted or thought of it first, they don't want it. They believe that this must be the 17th century again, and they have a great fleet and they have everything else, but they don't.
French bashing has hurt some businesses. The first week after Mr. O'Reilly's anti-French television tirade, sales at May We, a store in Bellevue, Washington, that carries exclusively French home furnishings and French wine, dropped 50%, according to owner Molly Marking.
So many people are saying, well, the French are this and the French are that, and how dare they and how dare they? It's like, we're not at war with the French. It's just misplaced patriotism. America is based on freedom of speech, and if that doesn't extend out to our allies, then what are we? If you're going to boycott French, then maybe we ought to make sure that nobody goes to the Statue of Liberty, and we better change 40% of our language because 40% of the English language is based in French. And if you're going to get really small-minded about it, you can really go crazy over it.
Anti-French outbursts are upsetting to the leadership of the French American Foundation, an organization in New York that brings together U.S. and French citizens for a variety of exchanges and study tours. Shani Peer, a former professor of French culture, works with early childhood programs at the foundation. She says France has been a convenient scapegoat for those who have no patience for diplomacy. But she says it is better for the United States to have friends who will honestly tell you what they think than those who go along with everything you propose.
I'm expressing my personal opinion here, but I think that the Bush administration has been very reckless in its international diplomacy. This has put into question the Atlantic Alliance. It's put into question the current and future role of the UN. And I think that the focus should be not just on the French-American relationship, but on the position of the United States in the international community. And I hope that that will not have been damaged irrevocably.
Shani Peer says those who believe France's behavior in the UN Security Council was motivated by self-interest because it has significant trading interests with Iraq are missing a subtle point. Since U.S. intervention in Iraq seemed inevitable, she argues, a purely selfish France would have cravenly curried favor with the U.S. administration. One scholar who has studied international diplomacy since the days of the 1978 Camp David Accords is Joseph Montville, now a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. He says it's ironic that so much anger is being directed at French President Jacques Chirac, a man who, as a student at Harvard University in Massachusetts, once scooped ice cream on Harvard Square. Mr. Montville says France knew it could not stop a war in Iraq, but could be the world's voice against what it sees as the U.S. government's unilateralist instincts.
The relationship with France will be, I think, evaluated in a more complex context of seeing how we evaluate the consequences of the war. If the costs are high in human terms, the wisdom of the war will be more and more closely scrutinized.
How do you assess the depth of Francophobia?
I don't think it's going to take root, but I think we'll know a lot better after the bills start coming in.
Lest Americans think they have a monopoly on hard feelings, French newspapers and commentators have likened the U.S. decision to send troops into Iraq to Adolf Hitler's assertion that his invasions of Czechoslovakia and Poland were preventive measures. And there are just as many cowboy jokes in Paris as there are disparaging remarks about the frogs of France in the United States. But in a recent interview on British television, President Chirac insisted that long-term relations between France and the United States will not be damaged. In his words, the two countries' deep roots go far beyond isolated events. I'm Ted Landfair.